The Old Testament reading comes from Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as it never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 10. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them in their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them." And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial to deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Drudge Report is a guilty pleasure of mine. Yes, there are the political scoops he manages to get. But for me, what makes that daily browse is how that high important news is mixed in with the odd stuff. Dolphin found shot dead on California beach. Lab-grown organs go rogue, develop brain muscle. Military robots do parkour. Number of witches on the rise in the USA. Wildfires create unbreathable air. Pure red heifer born in Israel. Of course, the subtext is that the stuff of our prestige news organizations spend their time obsessing over, which is ever so important, is just like all of the rest of the news of the weird that he places side by side on his simple page. But the question with Drudge is, what exactly does he think all these things are? I don't really know. But I'd make a large wager that his deepest point is simply absurdity. That he thinks that everything in this world is absurd. Those high prestige folks who come to read the latest political scoop while snickering about Florida Man are just the flip side of the Alex Jones and John Hagee fans who obsess over earthquakes, famines, and monsters in various places, while laughing at the folks who think the president is actually important and not just a puppet of larger forces. Both groups, desperately searching for meaning to drudge their supplier, are just as absurd. But we are meaning-making creatures. We spot patterns, even when they might not be there. We create news, even when it might just be random noise. We assume agency and purpose when it might just be a coin flip. Most of the time, that's not that big of a deal. Because whether a coach is a football genius or just happens to get a couple of good bounces from an oblong ball isn't that important in the long run. As Brent Musburger once said, it's for all the Tostitos, which are tasty, but nobody dies for lack of a Tostito. Even in things as momentous as the leader of the free world, the stakes don't seem to be quite as high as many would like us to believe. For all the rumors of nuclear wars that Donald Trump was supposed to unleash, none have turned into a real one. But we are meaning-making creatures. We will turn to many things to invest them with meaning. And once done, we will fight vigorously to keep that meaning. We'll keep pointing at our big stones and our wonderful buildings. See these? Aren't they fantastic? the disciples, as good Jews, had invested the greatest meaning in that temple. And 10 minutes ago, they wouldn't have been wrong. The widow, giving her mite, was supporting what she had found in that temple. And Jesus had praised that. That temple had been the locus of God's action. It had been the point of God's inbreaking into the world. But now, something greater than the temple was here. The disciples had witnessed that something greater. God desired mercy and not sacrifice. So he had sent not a pure red heifer, but he had sent his son. He claimed all of the nations, not just physical Israel. So he came to establish a new covenant. Covenant not of law, but of grace. Jesus came as the cornerstone of the new temple. Jesus came as the foundation of God's action in this world. Of course, that old temple would reject this stone. All the great stones and wonderful buildings would reject this one. Because this foundation testifies that this offering on the cross is the perfect offering. All of the rest of those stones need repeated sacrifices. This foundation says that your sins are forgiven. All of the rest of them keep producing scapegoats, which only work for a short time. They never took away the sin to be remembered no more. This foundation stone invites us to build upon him, upon the rock. Through him, we are being sanctified. We are being made into the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And through him, we are the living stones of that new temple. We're being formed for eternity. All of those other great stones are mere reflections of past glory that even now quickly fade. But we all have our great stones and our magnificent buildings. We have those things that we've invested with meaning. Those things we fear and love and trust. Maybe fear, love, and trust them above all things. We want to grab Jesus and tell him, "See, aren't these great?" And like that temple, they might be good things. They might once have contained the glory of God. Our private stones, our household gods, might have a fading glory. But what Jesus says to all of them is the same. Do you not see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. If what we fear, love, and trust the most has been built by our own hands, it must come down. Nothing that we have endued with ultimate meaning will last. Nothing that we have made our household God can save. However grand it might be, it's built on the sand. And it has to come down first if we are to be built on Christ. Because it's only what is built on Christ that will last. That great day will rip through everything like a fire, exposing all that is built with straw and revealing that which is fashioned with gold. Of course, we want to know when these things will happen. And the initial purpose of that question is, how long can I keep hold of my household gods? But Jesus answers those disciples in a different way. He assumes that they have faith already. See that no one leads you astray. You have heard the word of God. Through those waters of baptism, you have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and have washed with the pure water. You've been made into a living stone. Don't go back to those dead stones. Yes, there will be many that offer themselves as a better Christ. There will be wars and nations and kingdoms that will demand your primary allegiance. There will be earthquakes and famines that people will put forward as signs of a new age. This new thing makes Christ obsolete. This new thing, being whatever fancy stone strikes our eye. And there's no shortage of new things. Artificial intelligence might just be the latest false Christ to shout, "Here I am." As Drudge would say, AI will be our God. A promised earthquake of significance and meaning. And then there are those famines, those times when it seems like God is no longer listening, no longer keeping his covenant. But don't let any of that stuff, which goes on all the time, lead you astray from the truth which you have found. Don't let it lead you astray, because Christ is at the right hand of the Father, waiting for that proper time, waiting for the full number of the seal to come in. Instead, hold fast to our confession of hope without wavering. Because unlike Drudge, this cross is not absurd. Or maybe it might be better to say only something as absurd as God dying for sinners could carry the whole truth. The one who promises is faithful. We are meaning-making creatures. We're going to fear, love, and trust something. Choose wisely. Hold firm. And how might we do that in a world of mirrors? And even if we've given up all of our great stones, how do we know that this one is true and not just another Drudge absurdity? Stir up one another to love and good works. We are to be the salt and light of the world. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Don't neglect to meet together, but encourage one another, all the more as the day draws near. We know where our strength comes from, so we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Be on your guard, for you will be caught up in the tumult of the age. You'll be handed to councils and beaten, just like your Lord was. You'll stand before governors and kings, just as your Lord did, just as all the prophets and evangelists and saints have done. We're not unique, but we share a call. We're to be God's witnesses to this world. We don't know how this world is going to respond. They might repent, like Nineveh. They might hand us over to be put to death. Which result isn't our will, but it's the will of the Holy Spirit. But either way, we let our light shine before men. We don't put it under a bushel. The one who perseveres in these, faith in Christ and love for God and the neighbor, will be saved. Live the Christian life. Walk it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Persevere. Perseverance builds character. And character builds hope. And hope does not disappoint. Test it. Test my words. He's faithful. Our walk is heavenward all the way. Amen.